Waco issues a service bulletin. The new owners will have to wait for their space shuttles. And here's a joint exercise Ike would not have foreseen. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, August 6th, 2010. The Waco Classic Aircraft Company has issued a service bulletin for some models regarding elevator cable wear due to the cables becoming slack. The bulletin advises that the down elevator cable may become slack if not properly tensioned, allowing it to rub against a stainless steel guide on a pulley. One aircraft was found to have developed a frayed cable in this manner. The fix is to replace the cable guide with a new one with a Delrin rub strip. The company will provide it free for owners of affected planes. Get the list of models and serial numbers affected in the text version of this story, dated August 5th, at aero-news.net. The Russian Air Force and the North American Aerospace Defense Command will conduct their first cooperative air defense exercise next week. NORAD officials announced on Tuesday that Russia's Federal Air Navigational Service and the FAA also will be involved, along with the military air operations centers at Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson, Alaska, and Khabarovsk, Russia. The exercise is named Vigilant Eagle and will consist of two international flights, one originating in Alaska and traveling to the Far East, followed by one reversing that route. In the exercise scenario, a U.S.-flagged commercial air carrier on an international flight has been taken over by terrorists, and the crew will not respond to communications. The scenario creates a situation that requires both the Russian Air Force and NORAD to launch or divert fighter aircraft to investigate and follow the airliner. The exercise will focus on shadowing and the handoff of the monitored aircraft between fighters of the participating nations. Airborne warning and control aircraft from Russia and the U.S. will be involved, along with fighter interceptor aircraft and refueling aircraft from both countries. There's now a total of 21 institutions which have applied to NASA to be recipients of just two available space shuttles once the fleet is finally retired. Looks like they're all going to have to wait on pins and needles just a little longer than expected. Manifest delays in the final two scheduled shuttle missions have pushed the final expected flight into February of next year. And NASA spokesman Mike Curie told CollectSpace.com that they haven't established a new date for the retirement decision. Compounding the anxiety are bills working their way through both chambers of Congress, which call for an additional shuttle mission to fly not earlier than July 2011. For those 21 institutions waiting for a shuttle, this is worse than a kid waiting for Christmas, because at least Christmas doesn't keep moving around on the calendar. The General Aviation Manufacturers Association reports that while the total number of GA aircraft delivered during the second quarter of this year was down again slightly from last year, total billings were up. That makes the second consecutive quarter with rising billings. The seeming paradox makes sense if you look at the breakdown. Piston and turboprop aircraft sales were down, but the more costly business jets were up 14.3% in numbers of aircraft delivered. Gamma President Pete Bunce suggested, quote, "It remains critical that pro-growth, pro-manufacturing policies like bonus depreciation that promote aircraft purchases and stimulate job creation be put in place. As the global economic recovery picks up steam, markets outside of North America continue to hold promise for renewed growth in our industry," unquote. Up next on ANN, it's a great time to be in avionics tech. The A350 logs another sale, and the A400M passes a critical test. You're listening to Aero News.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/piperaircraft.
The Waco YMF-5D is an open cockpit sport biplane that embodies the golden age of aviation in a new production aircraft. The evolution of the new D model Waco incorporates many new features and upgrades, delivering greater performance than ever before, but with more horsepower and lower aircraft weight. Your new Waco is completely customized to your exact specifications, including your choice of avionics. Own and live the dream yourself with the new Waco YMF-5D. Check out the dream at www.wacoclassic.com.
We We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 6th. I'm Paul Plack. The Aircraft Electronics Association released its 2010 rate and labor survey this week to participating AEA member companies. It suggests a promising business outlook for the remainder of 2010 and into 2011. 50% of repair stations responding say they expect their business to increase this year. 42% expect business to at least remain the same. Only 8% expect a decrease in business. That's compared to 15% pessimistic last year. An influx of new avionics products targeted to helicopters are apparently providing an opportunity. AEA members report work on rotorcraft is up 11% this year. The 2010 rate and labor survey also indicates future hiring will increase dramatically. Airbus reports more orders are coming in for the A350XWB. Cathay Pacific Airlines says it has signed a letter of intent for the order of 30 aircraft. The Hong Kong-based airline has selected the A350-900 variant, which is capable of flying over 8,000 nautical miles nonstop. That's enough range to operate the aircraft across the airline's route network, including nonstop flights to Europe and North America. The aircraft will be powered by two new generation Rolls-Royce Trent XWB engines. Cathay Pacific CEO Tony Tyler cites the 350's capacity, range, and operating economics, and adds, quote, "The delivery schedule fits our requirements very neatly. The 30 new aircraft will be deployed to replace older aircraft and grow our fleet to meet the challenges of the future. The purchasing process has been a rigorous and competitive one, which has produced the best result for Cathay Pacific at the end of the day," unquote. Airbus Military says the all-composite wing of its new A400M airlifter has passed the ultimate load upend test. That's a critical static test required for certification. The test was performed at Airbus Military's Madrid facility July 22nd in the presence of two representatives of EASA. The wing was subjected to a load equal to 150% of the maximum bending load predicted to be encountered in service. The wingtips moved upward 4.6 feet during the test. The A400M wing is assembled at the Airbus plant in Filton, Bristol, UK. The static test program will continue in Madrid until mid-2011, and full-scale fatigue tests will be conducted on another test wing in Dresden, Germany, beginning later this year. Still ahead, the PRA convention wraps up in Mentone. Don't rock the helicopter, and be careful what you say about the pilot. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design. Maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business. Leading the way to a new generation of aircraft, Eclipse Aerospace introduces the Total Eclipse Twin Engine Jet. The Total Eclipse is a sophisticated, high-performance aircraft with low operating costs, low environmental impact, and uncompromised safety. Every Total Eclipse jet comes with flights to 41,000 feet, max cruise speeds of 370 knots, an onboard color radar with electronic moving maps and e-charts. And, of course, every Total Eclipse comes complete with a factory warranty. Log on to eclipseaerospace.net for more information.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, August 6th. I'm Paul Plack. Here in Mentone, Indiana, the Popular Rotorcraft Association's annual convention wraps up tomorrow. And something new this year is participation by a large contingent of powered paragliders. About 70 are pre-registered, and the weather is supposed to be about perfect, so dusk and dawn will bring some spectacular sights. Aero TV's Nathan Cremasino is here to capture it all. In a special board meeting on Wednesday, the PRA board voted to approve the appointment of Doug Barker of Layton, Utah, to fill a vacant board seat. Doug's the president of Chapter 2 in Utah and lives about an hour north of me, and he will do a fine job. This evening we'll bring the annual members meeting at 8 p.m., a regular board meeting at 9, and a fireworks show to follow. Tomorrow will be a very busy day, highlighted by an egg drop challenge involving PRA Secretary Stan Foster wearing protective clothing and a bunch of gyroplane pilots with a 500-foot minimum and a $500 prize. Nobody has hit Stan yet. If you'd like to see some really interesting machines and people, Come join the fun. The Mentone Airport's designator is C92. Haosheng Jafari lives in an apartment in a converted hospital in Bristol, UK. When a chiropractor and his wife landed a Jet Ranger on the property one day in May of last year to pick up his business partner and another passenger, Jafari reportedly became enraged that the rotor wash was blowing debris onto his Range Rover. The London Daily Mail reports Jafari threw a bag of chicken bones at the helicopter's rotor, then kicked at the door. As the helo started to lift off, Jafari, who goes 300 pounds plus, reportedly grabbed one of the landing skids of the Jet Ranger and hung on, which caused the aircraft to bank hard to the right. He then allegedly rocked it side to side, which witnesses said caused them to think the helo would crash. Jafari told the court that he's too fat to have caused any problems, and that he did not touch the helicopter at any time. But Bristol Crown Court Judge Mikhail Roach didn't believe that story and sentenced the businessman to a year in jail and payment of $4,500 in court costs. And finally today, a woman from Southern California boarding a Delta flight in Georgia July 19th said she was removed from the flight after reporting she thought she and others smelled alcohol on the captain's breath. The flight from Atlanta was delayed by more than an hour, and 51-year-old Cynthia Angel told MSNBC that she and three other passengers had a quick chat in the jetway with one of the pilots on her flight, whom she later found out was the captain. The captain spoke briefly to Angel and three others in the jetway, after which a man standing behind her asked, quote, "Did anyone smell that? It smelled a little like vodka," unquote. Well, Angel volunteered to speak on behalf of the group of passengers to the head flight attendant, and was later called into the cockpit for a conference with another pilot. Angel was assured by that pilot that the captain had not been drinking. She says she was satisfied at that point, but the accusation had set in motion events which delayed the flight. Angel was eventually removed from the plane, given hotel and meal vouchers, and rebooked on a flight the next day. Attorneys are now involved. Angel's lawyer, Mark Silverman, said he contacted Delta asking for an explanation. He told MSNBC that she was just trying to be a good citizen and that Delta should appreciate her concern. A former United Airlines captain told the network that while Angel did the right thing by speaking up, Delta was also right in asking her to leave the plane. He said flights are often delayed or canceled because, once accused, a pilot will often take himself off the flight and force the airline to find a replacement. But I'm left with two questions. Hey Delta, once a passenger is satisfied with the explanation, how does it save time to take her off the plane? And hey, Angel, any mischievous teenage kid knows vodka doesn't leave a smell on your breath. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my conversation with Jim Fields of AeroWorks International, who displayed the second-generation Honeybee gyroplane at AirVenture last week. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.